is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. It's Tuesday, the 2nd of April. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Good afternoon, Mr. Andrews.
You smell of garlic.
I know, it's awful, isn't it? Well, we've been on the Superior Show, of course, Scoff and Quaff.
Have you?
And Harry, my co-presenter,
Mr. Harry Covert,
brought in some wild garlic that he'd been foraging.
I know.
But then he sabotaged me, Paul Andrews, because he gave me some of his lovely wild garlic soup, which was very, very tasty.
Had chilli in it, didn't it?
What he didn't tell me. My goodness, he put like 4 drops of chilli on top of that soup, which I swigged in a sort of, you know, very, what's the word, you know, when you're really greedy.
Yeah.
There's a word for it.
Yeah, you scoffed it, didn't you?
Yeah, I scoffed it.
Yeah.
And yes, I then choked live.
Absolutely, which was quite good fun.
Did you survive April Fools and all that?
I did. You know, life is so weird these days. It was hard to tell the difference, really, wasn't it? And yes. Do you know where I was yesterday?
Well, stories are always made up anyway.
Do you know where I was yesterday, the 1st of April, on April Fool's Day?
Fall on a hill?
No, I was in the House of Commons.
No.
I was actually in the House of Commons on April Fool's Day. You couldn't make it up, and you couldn't tell the difference between the outright jokes and what they're actually trying to do. And there was a naked protest, and it didn't involve me.
It wasn't you.
It wasn't me. No, I tried to get up there, but was it
Bird, perhaps?
Was it what?
Bird, perhaps.
No.
No
but,
one you knew.
Do you know, it's one of the funny things about people that do naked protests. They're normally the kind of people you don't want to see naked, really, aren't they?
I'm not sure I want to see anybody naked, really. not on a Monday.
Exactly.
What were you doing at the House of Commons?
We were talking.
I was telling my guest, by the way, how you can mute your microphone when you have a frog in your throat.
Yeah, sure. But I haven't got one, have I? I don't have a red button here.
Really?
You see, she should know that because she's sat this side quite often. So she should know there's not a red button on the side.
I'm always eating it.
Absolutely.
So what were you doing?
I was there discussing the new T-levels and apprenticeships that have just been announced.
So what is a T-level?
A T-level is going to be something that you can opt to do post-16. It's worth the equivalent of 3 A-levels, and you can do it at school, sixth form, college, or in a college. And you can do a T-level in various vocational things.
Okay, so the equivalent of 3 A-levels.
Yeah.
But presumably it's a little bit more channeled.
It's very channeled because it involves part of the T-level course is a minimum of 45 days a year work.
Work experience
with someone. So it's like an apprenticeship in reverse. So with an apprenticeship, you find an employer and then the employer sends you to college or a trainer. With a T level, you're at school or college and you find an employer for one day a week, basically, is how it works. And you get paid for that one day a week. But you come out with a qualification, a T-level, that is the equivalent of 3 A-levels. Brilliant. And the reason for doing that, of course, is if you then chose to go to university, you've got the equivalent of 3 A-levels, or you can go on and do an apprenticeship, or you can just take a job and carry on earning. Brilliant. Really good.
Anything that helps people setting out on the road to success?
The government have tried to launch this a couple of times, and they deferred it once because people aren't ready. The big problem, one of the issues that I raise with this, and a big problem I have with this, is that it's great doing vocational stuff, and this is not a slight at all, but our teachers aren't geared to teaching vocational stuff. They're geared to teaching academic stuff, yeah? Which is why we don't teach IT very well and stuff like that, because, you know, so if you're going to teach engineering or hospitality or anything else, you've got people that have no experience of it, and that, I think, is one of the drawbacks to all of these schemes, is how the government are going to staff them to ensure that they happen. But we'll see. It's something.
Well, I'm impressed that you were there. I've got another question for you, Paul Andrews. Who might our sponsor be today?
Today's show sponsor are the lovely folks at ZC Social Media, and they're sponsoring us with their annual ZC Live event. And for those that don't know, ZC Live, I think it's about 5 years it's been running now.
Yeah.
It's an annual event in which Zoe Cairns, who's a very well-known speaker and television personality in terms of talking about digital and social engagement, they run a seminar every year called Zissi Social Media, called Zissi Live, I do beg your pardon. And this year it's taking place on the 31st of May at the Strood Academy. It is entirely free to attend. It's a brilliant event, starts off with breakfast, works all the way through. Last year's was phenomenal. I think there were about 500 people there last year. They're still working up the lineup of speakers, and they'll be announced in due course. But I happen to know that already more than 250 people have booked on. So
what's the date, Paul?
31st of May at the Strood Academy.
Brilliant. Yeah. We're coming out of that winter, aren't we? It's lovely because, you know, April's here. The clocks went back or forward or whatever they did. And
Went back, everyone else went forward. Yeah.
My dog is still on old time, and I'm still on old time. It's all right. I went to bed about...
Does that mean you're a dog?
Well, I found myself going to bed really... I don't know if I got it wrong. I was going to bed at like 8:30 last night. I said to Gab, it's because the clocks have gone. He said, no.
No, it's the other way around.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know what my excuse was. I got tucked up at 8:30. Then he came blundering in at 10 o'clock and woke me up. And then I was ready to party, Sue. Ready to party at 10 p.m.
That's no good,
And then he was snoring, and then that makes you livid, doesn't it? You know, if somebody's woken you up,
I'll tell you what,
and then they go straight.
I'll tell you what, when I go to bed and Gavin starts snoring, I get really upset because we live over 30 miles apart, and if I can hear him, it's just not good. Sorry, Gav.
Oh, he does snore. And I elbow him and nudge him. I go, move your head, change your head angle. And he goes, whoa, whoa. But in the studio, I'm a bit on tenterhooks, Paul Andrews.
Are you?
Oh, we've got Sue from Kent Space in, and you know,
I've got a boss.
Well, I've got my mug. I've made sure all the mugs are on mat.
Yeah.
Look, have you noticed?
You tied it up, didn't you? And then tied it up.
I was shaking as I poured the water, and I spilt some.
Uh-oh.
But luckily, I had a little nap.
Did she not notice?
She did notice.
Oh, did she?
Like Hawkeye.
Did she give you a look?
She gave me a look.
Yeah.
Luckily, I flourished my napkin out, mopped it all up, you know, silver service.
Yeah, sure, you fronted it out, didn't you? Yeah.
Silver service.
Yeah, exactly. And, well, do you want to introduce our guest then?
I will, yes. It's Sue from Kent Space, which is where we are, where we live.
The studios are based at Kent Space in Ashford, and we've got the lovely Sue McGowan from Kent Space, and she's going to be telling us all about Kent Space and some of their exciting plans that they've got coming up.
Now, how are we saying McGowan? Is it M, small c, and a big G?
Yes.
Just as a guess? Okay.
Yeah.
And you can find them on all the W's, kentspace.co.uk. And then flanking Sue McGowan, we have the lovely Lawrence Taylor.
Hello.
He's easy as 1, 2, 3, you know.
I've heard.
I bet you're going to play Lionel Richie.
No, I haven't got a song because...
There's no song involved.
No. What happens, Lawrence, is I normally pick some really cheesy tunage to play for one of the guests. But because we've got some...
easy.
Yeah, exactly.
Easy like...
And I would have had... What's his chops?
Lionel Richie.
No.
Or the Jacksons.
Before that.
Come on, which one's that?
The song.
You've got to sing it.
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Oh, yeah. ABC,
oh, there you go.
As 1, 2, 3. Yeah.
Sorry, Paul, I set that up.
No, that's fine. I would have played one of those songs because that is how cheesy I am. Yeah. But we haven't actually got a track today because I've got some recorded interviews.
Oh, and normally, you know, for 155 years, Lawrence, I've guessed that tune that he plays by the first little snippet that he plays. And my new husband cannot understand how I can do that. He says, how do you do that?
I know. She sneaks around and has a look at the playlist before I do it. That's how she does
it. It's actually a misspent youth. I broke my leg when I was 15 and I spent...
here we go.
We got
a life story now.
9 months in sort of lolling in plaster with it up there in those days.
Do you know what?
Bad break.
What you should have done, you should have got pregnant and then you would have killed two birds with one stone there, wouldn't you?
I think my life was bad enough at 15 with a broke leg.
Oh, you were 15? Oh, you were 15, sorry. Sorry, okay, I missed that bit.
That's illegal.
Yeah, you waited a year before you got married, didn't you?
I'm going to get my mum on the line.
Because you were 16 when you got married, weren't you?
17. Yeah, I went to Cairo.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mum and dad loved that.
Yeah.
So we've got Lawrence Taylor from easyas123.uk.com.
Yes.
And I happen to know that Lauren Taylor is doing the Twitter, hopefully.
I very much hope so.
Yeah,
yes,
otherwise
yeah.
We'll get rid of her.
No. Yeah, but yeah.
I mean, if she's not doing the social media. But I love the names. You've got Lawrence Taylor and Lauren Taylor. I mean,
we work together. We're not related. We're not married. And it does cause a little confusion. I did get one the other day where somebody was introducing us and they looked at us and said, are you married? No. And Lauren went, no. And then brother and sister? No. And then you could see in her head she was going, father and daughter, and she just wouldn't. This person just wouldn't say it. It was too insulting.
And you know what? The older Paul and I get, the easier it is to make mistakes like that, isn't it? Because people, as you get older, you'd know about this, Paul.
Well, I thought you were his daughter.
Yeah, exactly.
But, as you get older, you know, you look at policemen now, don't you? And they're so young. It's ridiculous.
I've got a 7-year-old stepdaughter. So I always, when you're out places, I go, and are you with your granddad?
Oh, that's so sad. And you've had your teeth done.
And I've had my teeth done and everything.
Exactly. Yeah, and you've got glasses now and hair and everything. Well, there you are. Well, I'm very impressed by the show so far.
Good. So that's sorted all that out, hasn't it? Yeah. We'd like to hear from you, though, everyone out there in the business world, in the southeast of England. You can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can, in fact, call me if you want on 01233 220035. I might not answer the phone because Jules and Harry busted it earlier.
Well, so Harry was...
He threw it on the floor in a huff.
In the middle of my guest.
Yeah, no, just threw it on the floor, didn't he? No, there's no cause.
But how seamless was I keeping the show going?
I was impressed, Jules.
Ad lib.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have had a tweet already.
Hold on, let me finish what I was saying. Cool. She does interrupt, doesn't she?
It's the Paul Andrews show.
Yeah. You can phone us on 01233 220035. That's Ashford.
Phone works. 01233 220035.
If Jules hasn't completely broken the phone, you're better off emailing me at hello@bizradio.co.uk. Or the very best way to interact with us live on the show is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and use the hashtag #BeBunker.
We love that. Mm. Shall I read you a tweet?
Yeah, go on.
I've had one, you know, that's come in hot off the press. It's from Athelbrey, our friends.
Oh, hello there.
And they say, hello, Jules Sirkin, and they mention you as well.
Do they?
And they've used the hashtag #BeBunker, which is why I'm reading it.
Well done, Kate and Keith.
And they say, hello from a wet and cold Paddock Wood.
All right.
And the actual Twitter handle is Paddock Wood Life. So it must be some sort of place. So I'll look at that in a minute. Mm. And they say, if anyone is planning on supporting staff during the Stress Awareness Month, they can call us for details of our mental health and well-being sessions and staff resilience workshops. Thanks as ever. And with two kisses, which are for me, obviously.
Obviously. Not one each, then.
No.
Okay.
But funny, because Sue and I were talking about people that overdo it at work, weren't we, earlier on?
Yep.
So it's a good one. I didn't know it was Stress Awareness Month.
Oh, there you go.
I got very stressed the other day with IT. I thought
you're all stressed, and Billy Dean's still in your wardrobe.
Yeah, he does. I try and keep him though. This is my IT man.
She trapped him in. She likes a bit of Billy Dean, and he came to service her one time. We'll say no more. And she locked him in the wardrobe, and he hasn't got out since.
No, I like to get him on a Friday before a bank holiday if I can.
Yeah,
he's very handsome. Black hair, dark hair.
All right, come on, get on with it.
I'm just looking. Paddock Wood Life. Just says tweeting from good old Paddock Wood, so I'm none the wiser, but I think it might be a venue.
Is it the hop farm?
It might be, but then they'd be the hop farm, wouldn't they?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll check. And then I've also had the lovely Peter Allen, who hails from the
office. He's next door. He's in the office next door.
Sue would know him.
Yeah.
He's an independent Lycanet marketeer, and he says, go to my website if you'd like to join, save money when you shop, and have the opportunity to earn from the shopping of others. Has he put his website on there? Yes, he has. It's my site, mysite.lyconet, that's lyconet.com with a little slash, Peter-Allen is the Allen. He is a regular slope-off.
Fantastic. Thank you. I've had a tweet from the lovely Tracy Ferguson.
We love her.
And Tracy says, have a great Business Bunker show, Paul and Jules, and guests. Can you please give a shout out for the very talented Denise Wilton and say a very happy birthday, please, to her today. So big happy birthday to Denise Wilton. Many happy returns. I hope you have a glorious day. And Tracy says, I'm going to look forward to listening to the replay of the show later today. So thank you for that, Tracy. If you'd like to follow Tracy on the Twitter, it's Tazzy64, T-A-Z-I-64. And if you'd like to wish Denise Wilton a very happy birthday, it's at Denise Wilton, W-I-L-T-O-N.
She's an actor.
She is an actor and a very good marketing person as well.
She is. And also, Tazzy or Tracy, her workshops are fantastic too.
Tracy, yeah, absolutely.
Well, do you know when her next one is?
I don't know. She hasn't tweeted me, so maybe there's not one on the horizon because she's just done one literally a week or so ago.
She's probably collapsed in a heap.
She is going to do some more for me in jobs in Kent, in Sittingbourne, we believe. in a couple of months' time. We had a very successful event in Medway a couple of weeks ago, and we're going to do another one in Sittingbourne next time. Do you know what I think we'll do? I think what we'll do, Jules, is we'll play some interviews with the second tranche of winners from the Canterbury Business Awards.
I think that's good.
I chaired the Canterbury Business Awards a couple of weeks ago. Last week we played four of the winners. This week we got three of the winners and the general manager from the Broome Park Hotel, which is where the award dinner was held.
I do love that. And I love a tranche, by the way.
You like a tranche, do you? Well, I knew you did. That's why I brought a tranche with me.
Nice,
I thought I'll bring this tranche because Jules likes a tranche. Yeah.
Who's up first?
I don't remember.
Well, let's hear.
I think.
Do you know what you have to do, Paul?
What?
Press the seg button.
Do you reckon? Okay,
right,
shall I give it a go, see if it works?
See if it works.
Let's see.
Be a first.
I'm at Broome Park, talking to people that have won awards in the Canterbury Business
It's
Awards.
It's me, I'm first in 19.
You're the chair.
Morning, Paul. I'm Emma Fauvargue, and my company is called Emmy Lou.
Good morning, Emma. Lovely to see you. So tell us, what does Emmy Lou do?
Emmy Lou is my salon, my own business salon, and I am a specialist in wigs.
Why is she looking at me like that?
You don't need one, honestly.
I do. Wigs. So, what an interesting business to get into. Oh, I've got loads of questions for this. So, what made you get into the wig business in the first place?
Well, Paul, I was 30 plus years a hairdresser. It's all I've ever sort of known. And so
you're not old enough.
Trust me, I am.
It's a good wig, then.
Thank you very much.
That's right.
And sadly, I've had to find wigs for people close to me. First port of call will always be their hairdresser, or, you know, suddenly, oh, Emma, I'm going to face hair loss. Any chance you could help?
So you're providing kind of wigs for people that have medical reasons for needing it, like alopecia or chemotherapy treatment and stuff like that, yeah?
Predominantly, I currently work in the medical field. It's predominantly for medical hair loss, but obviously there's always other reasons for enhancement. Just to make themselves feel and look more confident, and just, you know, help them in their appearance.
Fantastic. I'm fascinated by this. So, do you actually manufacture the wigs? How does it work?
Right, how it works is basically somebody would come into my salon. Hopefully just sort of I do a free consultation, and hopefully then I can just assist in personalising exactly what that particular client needs.
Right.
So each and every person that would walk through my door has a different desire and a different need for a wig, or just simply for enhancement. Obviously, there's the whole transgender world out there, not just for a medical hair loss reason, but there's various reasons. And I will individually create and have bespoke made a wig that's current and necessary for their reason.
Fantastic. Your company, do you manufacture them, or do you get them manufactured elsewhere?
I have a manufacturer that makes the wigs for me.
Right.
They come in more or less as I've requested. So I literally have them designed style, length, colour, etc. And then it comes in as a bit of a blank canvas, and then I actually cut it and customise it for that person.
What are they made out of?
There's various different makes.
Badger hair.
There's the human hair wigs.
Sorry.
There's synthetic wigs or human hair wigs.
Right.
And obviously the base, the actual makeup, the base of the wig is very, very different depending on what it's needed for, the type of...
And what's the longevity of an average wig? I mean... my hair didn't last long. So how long does a wig last?
Not much longer, unfortunately. A synthetic wig, the manufacturer likes to sort of give it sort of about 3 to 4 months. With a human hair, obviously, a lot longer than that because its durability is that much tougher. But also, I find that somebody's personal choice, in something like a synthetic, they can have various different styles and then sort of chop and change each day if they like to. Or in a human hair wig, they can do a lot more to it, add heat, curl it, straighten it, etc., etc.
Fantastic. That's really interesting stuff. Great. So what award did you win?
I won the Innovation Award.
I'm not surprised.
Oh, thank you very much.
That's fantastic. And what made you enter the awards?
It was actually a client of mine that made me aware of it, because this is so new for me. I've literally just been running a year. I'm a one-man band. I've had a salon built at home, so it's a purpose-built salon, bespoke sort of boutique-y type salon that's completely diverse to any other wig salon that I've researched and looked into. And it was actually a lady that's found me and called me her best-kept secret, because she wasn't aware that I was out there, that actually suggested that I put myself in for these awards so that I made myself more aware and people were more aware of me out there.
Fantastic. And we're really pleased that you did that. And many, many congratulations on winning a very well-deserved award for innovation. If people want to find out more about Emmy Lou, how can they do that?
Thank you, Paul. That's very kind of you to say. Unfortunately, at the moment, because I'm so new to this, I've only got a Facebook page.
That's fine.
My website is under construction as we speak. So you can find me on social media, Emmy Lou, Wig Specialist.
Fantastic. Emma, thank you so much for that. Enjoy the rest of your day. Keep on keeping on.
Thank you very much, Paul. You have a good day too. Bye.
Who have I got here?
Hi, I'm Gavin McKenzie. I'm from Modus Construction Consultants.
Hello, Gavin. How are you?
Very good. Yeah, not bad. How are you?
Yeah, I'm cool. So tell us, first of all, about Modus.
Yeah, so Modus, we're predominantly construction consultants, specialising in quantity surveying, but also offer sort of employer's agent contract administration services. We're based in Faversham in Kent. We set up the business 5 years ago now, and going from strength to strength. So, yeah, things are going well.
Fantastic. I mean, construction is a tough business these days, isn't it? There's lots of skill shortages.
It's really difficult, yeah, and getting in the right sort of staff, and that is a key for us, really. And our sort of main ethos really is getting people and training them in. So we run a trainee sort of program to make sure we get the best possible staff and that they sort of buy into the Modus sort of ethos right from the very, you know, beginning really. So
that's brilliant. I really like that. So tell us the award that you won again.
We were Construction Business of the Year.
Fantastic. So what made you enter the award?
The building's gone, you know, the business from right from the very start, say 5 years ago we started, and we recognised right from the beginning that, you know, the business is going in the right direction. We've grown from doing relatively small projects to sort of multi-million pound projects across the country, down in Devon, Bristol, throughout Kent as well, and we just realised that, you know, we wanted to try and be recognised for what we've kind of achieved. And, you know, going back to the staff again, it's having that sort of team on board. We wanted everyone to sort of recognise that the business is going places. So
fantastic. So what kind of projects are you doing? Are you house building? Are you building commercial properties? What kind of things do you do?
Yeah, so we do a mixture. So we do schools. We've done some local schools, Maidstone Grammar School. We've done works at Canterbury Academy, some of their new expansion sort of projects that are going there. We're doing leisure centres across the country. Doing hotels, do for hotels with Premier Inn. We do a mixture. We've always made sure that we want to keep a wide variety of projects because the market's always changing all the time, really, so it's important to sort of be done.
Listen, Gavin, many congratulations on a well-deserved win. If people want to find out more about Modus Construction, how do they do that?
Yeah, if they want to go to our website, it is modusltd.co.uk, and it's got all of our sort of Twitter and Facebook and Instagram handles all there. So
many congratulations, Gavin, to you and the team. A well-deserved award. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Thank you very much.
Let's talk to another one of our fabulous winners from the Canterbury Business Awards for 2019. Who do we have here?
Hello, my name is Clive Taylor, and I'm from Light Consulting.
Hello, Clive. Good morning. Welcome to the awards broadcast. Light Consulting, tell us a bit about our company.
Company, what we do predominantly is help our clients purchase payroll and HR systems and implement them.
Ah, okay. That's interesting. When you say purchase them, do you do an analysis of the market for them? How does it work?
Yeah, so depending on the customer and really on the budget, we do the analysis of the market. So there's lots of suppliers out there now. I think there's over 500 if you take the American market. So what we do is look at their needs, really, their need requirements. We shortlist them in the first place for them to make a selection. And then we go through a procurement process for them. And that can be a big procurement process, or we can shortlist probably two or three that we know that they think will meet their needs and invite them in for demos and things like that and help them choose.
It's an interesting marketplace as well, isn't it? Because there's lots of changes. There's, as well as regulatory changes like making tax digital and all that nonsense, there's also, you know, the whole move to web-based services too.
Yes, there is the move to web-based services, and there are, I say, a lot of players out there at the moment. And these web services, sort of cloud-provided industries is what people want, really. They want access quickly, and they don't really want the software held on either PCs or on their own servers, so it's ideal for them, really.
Absolutely. So tell us which award you won, Clive.
We won the Small Business Award.
Fantastic. And how long have you been going?
We've been going for 4 years now. The last 3 years, we changed direction after year one. So the last 3 years, we've predominantly been in the selection, HR and payroll selection process, and then the implementation consultancy. Difficult for us because we're a company of three people in the early days, and we had to let someone go who we'd worked with for quite a few years, and it was probably the toughest decision in our small office that we had in Whitstable at the time. We changed direction and haven't looked back.
Absolutely. And it is one of those things that all of us in business have to come to terms with, is the markets change far quicker than they ever did in the past. So we have to become flexible and adapt at changing quickly.
We do, and we're still looking ahead to the future, because we believe there's a need in East Kent. One of the things we're looking at now is to provide a cloud payroll system, and we're looking to set up a bureau, so the smaller businesses that traditionally go with accountants, we're looking to give a competitive and better option for them.
That's a fantastic idea, because one of the things about micro and very small businesses that are growing is that they put off and put off and put off hiring staff because it's such a pain, not least of which managing payroll and national insurance payments and all that kind of stuff as well.
Well, it's legislation as well, and the last thing that you want to do is get someone's pay wrong, because people go to work, obviously, for the love of it, but secondly, to get the correct pay, so we believe we can offer that service.
Yeah, because if you don't pay people properly, they get touchy, don't they?
They do a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know why. Oh, there you go. Cool. Clive, fascinating talking to you. Many congratulations on the award. Very well deserved. If people want to find out more about Light Consulting, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, we have a website, which is lightconsulting.co.uk, and that's L-I-T-E consulting. Our website will have most of our other ways to contact us, but please give us a call as well, because we're quite old-fashioned, and we do like a call on the telephone as well.
You pick the phone up, you actually talk to people.
We're there, and one of our things is we like to pick up within 2 minutes, so give us a try, and if we don't, let me know.
Fantastic. Clive, many congratulations. Well done. Talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Paul.
This is Paul Andrews reporting for the Business Bunker Show. I'm at the Broom Park Hotel. Last week we held the Canterbury Business Awards here, and what a fantastic place it was. So I thought it would be rather interesting to interview Mr. John Woodward, and John is the resort director here at Broom Park. So let's have a quick word with John. Hello, John.
Hi, how you doing? You okay?
Yeah, no, it's good. Lovely morning here.
Absolutely beautiful. The golf course is looking great, so hopefully we'll have a good day today.
Absolutely. There's lots of people out already as well, aren't there?
Yep, we've got our older section today, the Kitcheners, so they always come and have their round on this particular day and enjoy themselves.
Fantastic. What a gorgeous place this is. Tell us a little bit about Broom Park itself.
It's an amazing place. I've been here a year now, just over a year. It was acquired by a Hong Kong businessman in December 2017. There's a massive refurbishment plan going on. Let's say we've been here a year. We plan to put a few more bedrooms in. At the moment, we've got 19 bedrooms. We've got 14 lodges. The idea is to put in another 10 to 14 lodges, put in another 15, 20 bedrooms. We want to build a spa. We've got the golf course, so we just want a spa to go alongside that. We're looking at maybe putting bridle paths in the future, maybe extending the golf course, building a golf house, golf clubhouse. There's so much in the planning now for this year, and really a 5-year plan. Really, it's not all going to happen overnight, but yeah, we've got some plans for the future.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. It sounds absolutely fantastic. And you're in a beautiful location here. If people don't know where Broom Park is, it's on the outskirts of Canterbury, heading towards Dover. So you've not only got this part of Kent that you can satisfy, but most of Northern Europe as well.
Absolutely. A lot of our business comes through the tunnel and through the ports, and either a stopover or a couple of days stay. We've got a great chef in place now, so we're really proud of our food menu. Our service I think is pretty much second to none at the moment, and although we're in an old building, we work very, very hard and very closely with our housekeeping team on just making that really clean, and the extra special things like homemade biscuits in the rooms and flowers hours and high-end tea and coffee and that sort of thing is
fantastic. And as I made reference, we held the Canterbury Business Awards here. So again, it's a great place. It's a great venue for holding events, conferences, weddings, I guess you do here.
Yeah, absolutely, we do. We've got the marquee, we've also got the Georgian room, and a couple of smaller rooms. We do small conferences, we do meetings, we do lots of social parties, birthdays, anniversary parties, that sort of thing. A few wakes as well, which is unfortunate to meet people under those circumstances, but weddings is a big, big, big play for us.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and it's not a surprise, because it's an absolutely stunning location, isn't it?
Yeah, you've got the grounds, you've got the old house, you've got the history, you've got the culture. Kitchener was here for a few years in the early part of the last century, and Japanese market, the American market, love all that.
Yeah, absolutely. So Lord Kitchener lived here for a while. For those of you of the same age as me, and remember Lord Kitchener, not really. Lord Kitchener, First World War General, yeah?
That's right, yeah. He's the guy on the famous posters, your country needs you. He was here for 5 years. Never actually stayed inside Broome Park. We've got a little cottage on the side of the estate called Flint Cottage, and he stayed in there while he refurbished the building. But unfortunately died 5 years after buying the place.
So he never actually got to live in the finished place?
Not actually the finished place, but he spent all of his time in Flint Cottage.
Oh, fantastic. So lots of nice history here. Gorgeous building. I guess it's a listed building as well.
Absolutely. Grade 1 listed, which comes with its own pitfalls.
Yeah, of course.
We can't have a lift. If we want to change a window pane, we need to go through British Heritage. And also with the refurbishments as well, it's going to be a long process because everything's got to go through them and everything's got to be right.
Cool, and absolutely, but at the end of it, it's going to be worthwhile because it's a gorgeous place.
It's going to be a massive, great resort. It's going to be not only a great hotel with a few food and beverage dining areas, it's going to be known as one of Kent's greatest or best golf courses.
Yeah. Absolutely. John, look, if people want to find out more about Broome Park, how can they do that?
They can go through the website, broomepark.co.uk. Just pop in and see us, have a coffee, have a bacon sandwich or a bit of cake. Our afternoon tea is flying at the moment. And they'll follow us on social media, LinkedIn, Facebook and Twitter.
Fantastic. John, thank you so much. Thank you for your hospitality. A huge thank you to you and the staff for the brilliant event that you helped to stage for the Canterbury Business Awards. And we look forward to coming back with that again next year. But in the meantime, well done.
Thank you very much.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
Do you use social media for your business? Do you understand all things digital? No? Then come to ZC Live. Business owner and TV commentator Zoe Cairns will host a day full of great content for local businesses. Free workshops, inspiring speakers, networking opportunities, top marketing tips, the latest trends. And it's all free. Make your digital marketing more effective with ZC Live. Friday, May the 31st at Strood Academy. Book your free place now at zclive.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent business community today.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. There were some interviews with the second tranche of winners from the Canterbury Business Awards. I was really blown away with the quality of all the finalists of that award. It gets bigger and bigger every year. The awards dinner, there was about 120 people there, but the range of companies and the different things they did and the innovation was unbelievable. There's such a range of different companies and it just unbelievable in one small area of Kent how many companies, how many successful companies, how many innovative companies there are.
I was saying the diversity in Kent of small businesses and medium businesses. It's just growing and growing, isn't it? And we were talking on the Scoff and Quaff show, Superior show earlier on, about the food industry and restaurants and hospitality as well. But we're getting some good tech businesses in Kent now, aren't we?
Some good
tech businesses.
Absolutely.
You know, a few years ago, we were a bit short of them. But
There's some really fantastic tech businesses. Over in Maidstone, you've got Compare and Recycle, you've got Vinters and VServers and people like that. Yeah, there's lots of different technology going around in the county as well. Unbelievable. No, really good. I'm really blown away. And congratulations to all the finalists, runners-up and winners from the Kent Business Awards. We have got some news on further County Business Awards that we'll come to as the show unfolds. But I've had an email here from the Romney Resource Centre, and I'd like to read that to you because they've been trying to email me this for ages, and my email keeps bouncing it back, apparently. So I finally got it, so I need to read it out. It says, "Hi, Paul. I'm writing to ask you for a shout-out on the Business Bunker show, please. Are you an employer in the catering industry? Are you looking for staff training? The Romney Resource Centre is offering a fully funded course on food safety and catering on the 16th of May. This is a level 2 fully accredited course and is perfect for those already in the industry or people looking to go into catering and hospitality. It will be held at the Romney Marsh Business Centre, Unit 12 in New Romney, Kent. To find out more, please contact the Romney Resource Centre on 01797 367 455. That's 01797 367 455, or visit our website, which is www.romney-resource.co.uk. Cool. And you've just sent me a photo while I was trying to read my email.
It's only on your WhatsApp.
Yeah, but it came across my email while I was trying to read it on my phone.
I didn't know it would do that.
Yeah, it did.
Terrible.
You did it deliberately. She just has to have attention. It's what it is. She needs attention.
I'll airplay you one in a minute, or whatever that is. Share or something. You know, Paul Andrews, that there's the Marsh Networking Over Coffee event is coming up tomorrow, Manana.
Manana.
It is Manana. It's 10 o'clock until 12, and they've put GMT. I'm ahead of them. It's BST now. And it's at the Sankport Arms in number 1 High Street, New Romney. And if you're going by sat-nav, it's T for Tiger, N for Norman, 28, 8, B for Bertie, and U for Umbrella. And they say details are on
She makes up her own phonetic codes, don't worry. One of our listeners
sent me the proper one.
She has P for Pterodactyl.
KentBusinessRadio.co.uk/Marsh-network for the details of that. But the next one is Manana at 10 a.m. at the Sankport Arms, High Street, New Romney.
Cool. Do you know what? I think we'll talk to our first guest.
About time.
Yeah. I think we'll talk to somebody sensible.
Will it
make a big difference. It's going to be Sue.
Yeah,
because she's looking so sensible and businesslike there, and it really would make a difference to have somebody.
She's very impressed by my silver service serving
was of
the water. Yeah, very impressed.
Listen, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Bunker show the lovely Sue McGowan, who's part of the management team here at Kent Space. And just before Sue tells us what she's going to tell us, I need to tell you that here at Channel Radio, both of our studios are located at Kent Space, and we love it here.
It's brilliant.
It's
much better than when we used to be with our packers and have like porcupines walking.
In the wildlife, that was terrible, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Fred the porcupine used to nick my biscuits.
Exactly.
I know. Don't get any of that here. We get free biscuits here.
Well, on occasion, he mounted my leg. You know that.
I've heard.
I had guests.
I've heard.
Yeah.
It's not good.
I can arrange it, guys. I can get a few alpacas.
Yeah.
There was always a little whiff of manure as well there, wasn't there?
Well, that's easy.
Yeah, I think that followed you here, though, Jules. I mean, anyway.
Here we get biscuits, tea, coffee.
We get tea, coffee and biscuits and
a reception.
And the lovely staff.
Yes.
That is the thing that makes the biggest difference here, is just how lovely everybody is and how supportive they are. It's a lovely place as well.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, they're fabulous offices and they're really
parking.
Nice. I beg your pardon?
Parking.
I thought you said barking.
Barking.
Anyway, enough of us praising it, although it fully deserves it. Sue, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Why don't you tell us about, I know that you've got something specific to tell us, but why don't you tell us about Kent Space in general? Because it's more than just offices, you're also a storage company, and you've got an interesting history as well. Because here is the Letraset building, this former Letraset building here.
Yeah, it was, Kent Space started 11 years ago.
Right.
In Chatham. And that's our mothership. That's what I really class as my home.
Right, okay.
And it's where I joined. I started there as the business was opening. So it's been an absolute journey for me to watch the business grow.
And whereabouts in Chatham is Kent's Place?
In Lordswood. We're about 5 minutes away from Junction 3.
Right, okay.
On the M2. And obviously Chatham sort of soared and did really, really well. And then 5 years ago, we had the opportunity of buying this building. Mm. And under sad circumstances, I must say. I mean, the lecture set was huge. It was. Yeah. I mean, they owned the whole road.
Yeah. For those that don't know, that of a certain age, this is indicative of how to mess up a really good business. Letraset were a global domination in the printing business. And for those of you of an age, you will remember the little transparent sheets of letters that you used to get that you rubbed on to make printing. Yeah?
Yeah.
And Letraset were globally famous. They're world leaders in printing technology and making things. As, of course, computers started to hit the mainstream in terms of personal computers and Microsoft started to come up with different fonts, unfortunately, Letraset failed to respond and thought, you know, that won't last. People will still want to, you know, use a coin to rub off bits of paper. And, of course, they didn't.
No.
And sadly, Letraset, I believe, still exists as a business, but I think they're just a print consultancy these days.
Yeah, I mean, and the building is absolutely phenomenal, and there's certain areas in this building that we'll never ever be able to do anything with, but and it is like time stood still. There's I've nicknamed it the Chogi, which is the roof, and you go upstairs and it's literally like a bomb went off and they've literally put their heads there, their earphones down. There's still tissues in the bin, there's gloves on the side. It's almost as if the world had come to an end and they were just told to run out the building.
Wow, exactly, okay.
And it's literally caught in time. So there's some amazing history here. We've got a cabinet downstairs with some of the Letraset stuff that was donated to us by the guy that owns it, for us to return it at some point. But,
sure.
And then, yeah.
So just finishing off on this one in Ashford, because I know it because we're based here and I love it. you've recently added two floors here. Or well, opened up two new floors, yeah.
Sue hasn't herself. She's had.
No, she did. I saw her carrying a brick. I saw her carrying a brick. She had a hod. She had a hod full of bricks. I saw her.
She put in the odd RSJ, but I don't think she did the whole thing.
Ah, okay.
So, yeah, we've been really, really lucky to open up the final two floors of the offices. So we've now got 55 serviced offices in the building, of which we're filling up very quickly, which is brilliant. We've had a real influx of people. Plus, we opened our self-storage, and we've still got some of that to develop.
Right.
So we'll have a phase three, and that's filling up nicely as well.
Right. So you've got self-storage on at the back.
Yes.
And you've got the serviced offices at the front, which are gorgeous. There's now four floors of offices.
Yep.
Is there any more floors on the building?
The Chogi, if we ever decided to do anything, it would take an absolute fortune of money to do so. But the roof, there's a vast area upstairs that was all the plant,
right?
And it's just crying out to be developed. But we'd have to take the roof, but it costs.
Yeah,
it
would be a nightmare. Yeah.
So, okay, but I'd say no.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll send Jules up there. She can work up there. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. But it's going great guns, and got a great team here.
I know you're keen to tell us about your plans, and we'll get to that in a moment. But one of the beautiful things about what you do, one of the beautiful things about Kent Space is you've kind of hit the zeitgeist, as it were, because serviced office space, easy access office space is now the real vogue for the vast majority of businesses, certainly SMEs. And interestingly, you know that I own Fruitworks in Canterbury, which is a community workspace. One of the interesting things, talking to the folks from Location Kent, who are the inward investment people, when they go to the United States and talk to some very big companies about locating to the UK, but coming to Kent rather than London, the first thing they ask is about serviced office space. Mm. Very few of them want to invest in their own offices anymore. Yeah. But especially for small businesses, we just can't afford to invest in our own offices. So easy access office space is crucial now, which is a lot of the success for Kent Space, really, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's no long leases to worry about. And even people that do lease now, they're even shrinking them because people don't want the commitment.
Yeah.
They want to be free to get out at any point. So we are prime for that. Mm. Yeah,
definitely. You know, it's one of those funny things about business where it is now. We just can't rely on anything. You know, we only got to take one look at the government and their shenanigans to know that you can't rely on what's going to happen tomorrow. So, therefore, we're all highly reluctant to commit to anything that could, you know, trap us into something. So it's one of those brilliant things. We certainly love being here, and you offer us very good quality, very cost-effective office space with a lovely staff to support it, and we fully appreciate that. So tell us what your plans are, Sue, because you've got some cunning plans going on, haven't you?
Okay, you and I were talking earlier about being in a prime location for co-working, service office areas and stuff like that, and being close to a mainline train station is a definite bonus. So I'm pleased to say that we've actually found some property in Ebbsfleet.
Right.
It's going to be, if you can ever improve on Kent Spaces buildings, it's going to be more contemporary. There's lots of glass. It's going to be a little bit more up to date. There's going to be a big, massive co-working space in there. We are going to be literally a minute's drive from Ebbsfleet Station.
Wow. Right.
When the bridge is built, 8 minute walk. So commuters can come in.
Are you
in.
Building the bridge as well, Sue?
I'll give it my best shot. and I'm pleased to say that Shannon Reynolds, who's the manager at Chatham right now, has got the job of coming across and managing Ebbsfleet and lifting that up. We've already reserved office space based off the plan.
Right, okay.
And what we've already got here that people have come to have a look at. So they come in, they get the feel for Kent Space, they get the vibe for it. So... and storage, you know, we're having state-of-the-art storage fitted there as well, that you can run by the app of your phone, so there's no keys, there's no padlocks. So it's just the next step up.
It's a really clever thing that you've done, and I want to talk about a bit in a minute, but let's just talk about Ebbsfleet for those that don't know, because even a lot of people from Kent have gone, where? Yeah, because Ebbsfleet is a boggy marsh, basically.
They're building houses on stilts there.
Yeah. No, it was just empty marshland for, you know, 1,000 years.
It's vast. Yeah.
And a vast empty marsh. But of course, they've built a railway station there on the high speed network, HS1. It's the first stop out of Stratford, isn't it? Out of St Pancras. And of course, there's lots of plans to build housing and all kinds of things there. And I don't know if you know, but it's due to become a London borough as well. So technically, it's technically going to become London, which means that, you know, there's more houses in London. See what I did there?
Yeah.
And actually, you can see quite vividly Canary Wharf from there, can't you? You just stare straight at Canary Wharf.
Well, even you?
Yeah, even me, even without my glasses on. I can see the Citibank building and HSBC building from Ebbsfleet. If I could walk on water, it would be fine, yeah? But you're right, it's commutable from London, both directions, and that's the beauty of it, isn't it? Because it's technically South London.
Do you know there's been occasions when I've actually driven from Whitstable for various reasons to Ebbsfleet and parked there just to get into London? It was just
to get a train back to Whitstable.
It was just that much easier to do it than, you know, we often get chucked off the train at Faversham and have to get a night bus and all sorts of ridiculous things there. So, you know...
So tell us a bit about the building that you've got in Ebbsfleet. So is it a site that you're going to build your own building on, or have you taken a building that exists? What's happening?
It's an existing building that we've called Fleet House. So that's now registered with the council. It's about the same size as Chatham.
Mm-hmm.
So we will have about 23,000 square foot of storage available when it's complete, and we will have around 12,000 square foot of office space.
Right.
That's when it's complete with phase two. We've got phase one going through at the moment, so we hope to open in July.
This year?
Yeah.
Blimey.
It's on the go. We've got mezz floors going in.
You've got Vicky and Hayley working there now, have you? Well, they've got their plastering trowels out and putting the glass in.
So it's all hands to the pump. And we are literally going to get the offices put in. We've got, as I say, somebody that's reserved ready to move in July. And, we're really looking forward to getting going. It's needed in the area. There's very little in that area, especially from a storage perspective as well.
Absolutely. Can we talk about that for a moment? Because storage isn't something that I know very much about. I've used storage myself when I'm between houses. Yeah, so you've moved out of one and you haven't moved into another. I've used storage a couple of times.
When you're homeless sometimes.
When you're homeless, yeah. But there's a lot of storage facilities about. And when you see that, that kind of indicates that there's a lot of necessity for storage. Mm. So is there a pattern to the kind of things, the kind of people, the kind of stuff that people use storage for? Or is it random stuff that gets stored in there? Do you have some dodgy stuff in there?
We've had Trading Standards come and raid storage units.
Really?
Yeah.
What were they looking for?
Crocodiles.
Market traders selling hooky gear.
Yeah.
And they were great clients, but they were dodgy as hell.
Dodgy, yeah.
So that soon come and bit them in the bum.
Yeah.
So
that was Dale and Rodney out of the market.
Yeah.
Sheepskin.
Yeah.
We're very lucky. On the whole, they're pretty well behaved. It's general public, people moving in between houses, bereavement, sadly divorce.
But if you get the builders in, we're doing a whole top floor in our
refurbishment.
House. The dust and that, we need to get in. And also so she's, the builders
put,
can't walk.
She's put Gavin in storage.
Exactly. So you have people that need it short term, like yourselves, just for a month or two while they're getting their loft converted or whatever.
Yeah.
We do have some bizarre stories as well. And we've had some people come and go that you just look at and think, wow, did that actually really happen? And
Tell us one.
We actually have a cross-dresser that stores his clothes in our storage facility. And he comes in, gets changed in the storage unit and then leaves.
Where is he based?
And then come back in Chatham.
Okay.
Yeah. So, we've had people want to store coffins and...
What, with people in them?
No, a coffin for his wife who was told she was terminally ill, and this coffin was really expensive. He got it on a special deal from the States and ordered it in.
She didn't recover, did she?
She did.
It's typical women, isn't it? You can't rely on them.
Yeah, she did. So there's all sorts of, absolutely all sorts of stories that we can tell you about people that store.
So is she still alive? Is the coffin still there?
I'm assuming so. This was a long time ago. No, the coffin's not there. He managed to cancel the order. He phoned us up and cancelled his reservation because that was exactly what happened. He went, can you believe it? My wife's going to live.
So, yeah. I'm so annoyed.
Yeah. It's like, can you keep it for yourself, maybe? It's like, could be a long time coming. We have had some seriously funny people, sad people.
Hmm.
Great business people. We've got people that have been storing with us for a whole 11 years, you know, that are still with us now.
And I mean, those long-term storage things, I mean, is it the same, you know, did they put the stuff in 11 years ago and leave it, or is it?
Some did.
Yeah.
Some are businesses that use it on a, you know, regular basis. But we have got people that have literally just, it's criminal really, chucked it in there and shut the door.
Right, I've got to ask you this. I've got, because I'd never ever heard of this until a few years ago. I started watching Storage Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah, on TV. You ever seen it? It's in America. And basically what it is, in America, it's storage units that the people have stopped paying for, or they can't find them anymore, and they sell the contents of the storage unit. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, you bid on the unit without knowing what's in there.
No.
Yeah. So you bid on the unit, and then when you open it, there's either, you know, like two rats and a paper bag. But there's also been people found things worth like $400,000 and stuff like that. Is it true? I mean, does that happen? What happens with you guys if a storage unit, if people have got stuff in a storage unit and stop paying for it or whatever?
It's a long, drawn-out process. It's illegal for us to do auctions, live auctions in the UK, so therefore we can't do the same thing. They can do it in the States. It's perfectly legal to do that. So what we have to do is we chase and chase and chase and chase and chase until we can't chase anymore, and then we get somebody in to have a look and give us a price to either remove it or to give us some money for that, might boot fare it. But sadly, most of the stuff that's in there is of no value to us whatsoever. I mean, I think the most I've ever recouped is a brand new push bike that we sold for £400 and some gold that I took down the pawn shop and pawned. And the rest of it is just DVDs, CDs, photographs.
Family junk kind of thing.
Yeah, old sofas.
Yeah.
So, we can't do any auctions, but thankfully... There's very few of those.
Okay. Oh, that's a shame, because I was going to do that. I was going to do Kent Space Storage Wars.
Really
yeah, yeah, I'll be really good, yeah. Now, what's in here, folks?
Why is it illegal in the UK?
It's interesting.
Because it's immoral, really, is the reason behind it. Because us being true Brits, we pretty much need to give everybody a fair stab at, you know, what's behind. Exactly. You could put £2,000 on a unit that's full of nothing. It could be fresh air. And I think the moral of the story is they give everybody a fair crack at what's in there.
Yeah.
So they tried to get, they had an English one, and they tried to get, you know, in contact with everyone. And it's staged, because it's actually illegal to do it. So
yeah.
The reality is it doesn't happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so look, thank you so much for joining us. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. And we wish you continued success with Kent Space. It's a fabulous place to be. We love being here. We've got two offices here now, and I'm sure we'll end up with some more eventually.
Yeah.
We love being here, but we might even put one in Ebbsfleet. You never know. We wish you much success with your new venture in Ebbsfleet. I'm sure it will be brilliant. And we're all looking forward to the opening night party.
Yes, there will be one. There will be one.
Cool. So for the moment, if people want to find out about Kent Space, all of your spaces and storage and offices, how can they do that?
You can go on the website, www.kentspace.co.uk. It's probably the best place to go. It covers everything.
Right.
The office space as well as the storage, or just simply dial one of the numbers for either of the offices, and we'll more than happily help you.
Fabulous. Thank you so much for that. Thanks. We're really looking forward to it. Thank you for being on the show. Do stay with us. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom now, and then when we come back, we've got another guest to speak to and some more emails and tweets to read. So let's go over to the newsroom.
On the Hour, Channel Radio News Update.